This is KWAI, Honolulu, 1080 on the AM dial.
It's time for the Carol Cox Show right here at K108. If you have questions or comments for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080. And now, here's Carol.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Carol Cox Show, or should I say, welcome me back to the Carol Cox Show. For those of you out there that know of all the good things and the bad things that happened to me, I'm still alive, still here, still kicking, and encouraged even more so now. People don't beat up on you just because you're an existing entity. You put your nose in their business, and which is actually our business. And they get mad. Anybody, if you have ever had a hornet's nest or beehive at your place, you know that whatever you do to disturb them, you're likely to get stung. So I don't advocate violence. I don't solicit violence against anyone or myself. But any of you really interested in the details, I won't talk much about it because I will be contacting and speaking with federal authorities and others and looking at many avenues to redress this beating. So, but the most important thing I want to share with you is that the nearly 700 some or so emails, text messages, and phone calls and personal contacts, your support and understanding that we can't tolerate this and expressing your sympathy and all. So I do appreciate it, and I can only tell you if the guy that did this could only know that he has only created a firestorm. And I'm not going to be careless. And so some of you know that this wasn't done because I'm a stupid person. This was done on – I met Judas – and we'll leave it at that. And while I was helping Judas, the Judas being a coward actually set me up and assisted. But we'll address all of those issues later. But what the greater commentary is that the other day I was driving down the street and I saw there's policemen standing at the street corner looking for seat belts. And if you were and five or six of them, see if you had seat belts on or if you had your cell phone in your hand or something. And then I just had to think, wow, I'm a fan of the policemen, was law enforcement myself in the past, still appreciate them. But then I have to reflect back and think that in broad daylight, on state land, masked men were able to attack me, and there was nobody there to see if I even had a cell phone while driving. So it says something about our society now, and what I'm also inclined to say to you is that I don't believe in this extreme measures of talking about gun control, because when you're out there and if people can walk around with masks and assemble teams and attack you, don't hurry, because having a weapon would have thwarted that. But again, I know some of you, and I share the same thing. I don't like violence. I attest it. I hate it. It's sad. But again, this all took place on state land. I have an active, prior to this attack, have actively contacted the Attorney General. There is an active investigation, and I've on bribery and other charges on the actions of the state workers. We've told you about Gravelgate, where individuals are allowing companies that work for the state is allowing companies to circumvent the scales and the DOT laws and on and on and on. And I shared with you that the state health department, when they went to respond to the 13 tons of hazardous materials or waste that was dumped on Hawaiian homelands, they arrived and told them my name. Now imagine all of that. So The Hawaiian homeland is as corrupt, and I say it again, and you, as the weeks come, I will disclose this live or dead. We will post it up, and I will submit to you today that when operatives can put don mask on and get people to gather around and operate on state land to attack a free citizen, then something's wrong. It's no longer about people standing in line and dying and waiting to get a lease. It's about the most corrupt. I hold the governor accountable. I hold the attorney general accountable. All of those people. It is not just for my sake, but it demonstrates that our priorities and we as free people, we're not protected. So you might want to give it some second thought when, and I'm as liberal as you can get, and I don't want to see guns in the hands of anyone, but there has to be an adjustment. If men can drive around in cars in broad daylight and assemble a task force and kill you and beat you in public, what do we have? Do we have a democracy? Do we have a need to follow the liberal flow and hop in line and says, give up your guns and give up everything? If I could be assured, and go to carolcox.com, and I'm not going to labor this much longer, but and I want you to see in there, and we're going to talk about it later, but go to carolcox.com later today, and you can see a TRO that was filed by Mr. George Grace, where the party that has had a role in the attack on me went and threatened his life, and there's a temporary restraining order that was sought, and a formal police report naming Mr. Mark Owohi as the individual. And the allegations by Mr. Grace is that Mr. Owohi basically discusses and threatens his family and promised to do the same things that was done to me. So we know who and what and why. And we're just going to sit by and wait and see if the police department conducts a thorough investigation. And I need your support, not for me, but for your sake. When you're attacked, what happened? Do we get these things washed on the ground? I'm told that possibly some of the detectives are friends with Mr. Owohi. I will attempt to address that. And again, for those of you that think that I should be silent about this, then I do apologize to go against your wishes and thoughts and your good guidance. But I'm a free man, and no one, never, ever, ever. And my rights to protect myself and my rights to protect others and the environment and be able to speak freely on these topics will never be waned by any idiot or any club-bearing fool. You may silence me, but this fight will go on. So, but we need to put them in jail, and I hope to be that central point of doing that. So anyway, in the next hour, about 50, I'm going to read you that testimony or that statement filed by Mr. George Grace to obtain his TRO that he filed. And I think you'll be shocked as to what is said. And you tell me, and muddle this over, if you would, muddle it over while I... we go ahead and talk about a different subject. But in one of these statements during Mr. Owohi's visit to this shop owned by Grace, where he is allegedly threatening Mr. Grace, there's item 8, and it's, quote, tell Mr. Cox that he saw me sitting out there 20 to 25 minutes before he got assaulted. And just to show him that I have power and can have anybody take care of that stands in my way. So, and you tell your sister, and especially Mr. Cox, that I can afford to have someone do my dirty work, and it will never come back to me. So we're going to talk about those things. These are the tidbits of evidence that have been supported or submitted to the Department, HPD, and the courts. So we'll talk about it later, and but now we're going to talk about something else, because prior to this little crazy incident, I talked to Mr. Tom Berg, former council, city council member, and you know, I was on the periphery, on the sideline, just thinking, and you know, I read some of the things he had written, and then I listened to some of the things Rita Cabanilla said. I was a little impressed with Berg's, as always. He's very thorough. You can't take that away from him. And I took an interest, and I invited him. Now, this is before I get whacked upside the head, so I don't know if it was Tom who got excited and hit me because he wanted to talk about this or what, but anyway, and Tom agreed to come on, and we were going to talk about the issue on Ever Historical Society and all of that hoo-hoo that's going on, and he has great details. And then just last night, real late, I was reading Tom's materials, and then came up and thought, oh, there's Kurt Favela, who also has some knowledge. So I desperately asked him to come in because he has a perspective, some historical stuff like Tom regarding this. And so you'll know, I did call Sylvia Luke's office, state representative. I called Mr. Cullen's office. They never called me back. Didn't have one word to give me. Then I was called by Carolyn Tanaka, who said that she was going to look into something. But anyway, guys, thank you for joining me, and let's talk about the Ever Historical Society and its application for grants. And Tom Berg, thank you for coming. And Kurt Favela, thank you. Go ahead, Tom.
This is a double billing scheme that is now playing out, and if the public's paying attention to it, Representative Cabanilla knowingly knew that a contract had been brokered between the city and county of Honolulu for a maintenance crew. It was budgeted July 1 of 2013. The neighborhood board discusses it. The community is pleased. But what I want to get to is that in January of 2014, months after this contract, months after the cemetery's been maintained, Representative Cabanilla masterminds what I consider, again, a double billing scheme to ask the state legislature that $200,000 is necessary to mow approximately 3 to 4 acres of the Eva Cemetery. And at $200,000 in her grant request, this is really, I think, that it comes into play. It was turned in, the application for the grant in aid, in bad faith, with the intent to mislead. And that's Chapter 42F, Section 103, applicable to nonprofits, that when you turn in this application, you're claiming and making a statement to your colleagues and to everybody else competing for these funds that you are in good standing and that you do have your tax-exempt status. And so, first of all, we knowingly know that the entire community that the cemetery was being maintained in a contract. Now, this isn't a two-week contract, a once-a-month contract that the city has brokered. They finally put this caretaking capacity for the grounds of the cemetery in a contract that will always be there like it was any other city and county park. You know, they mow the lawn, they take care of the baseball diamond, the fields. That's now the good news. The cemetery will finally be addressed, the grounds, from here in properly. So, Kurt and Carol, I just want to say that the reason I really wanted to be on your show today is that now I, as a citizen, have to expend my time to lobby against Cabanilla's attempt to still get this money, because the double billing scheme she's still claiming to this day is palatable. that the community wants this money and the money's needed. When it's completely needs to be dissected further, we're going to get more and more into how you can communicate as a nonprofit at the state capitol with other officials. And so, you know, I'm glad to see Kurt here, because the Lions Club and others have been trying to shepherd in that same caretaking capacity. So, Kurt, what do you think about the fact the city's taken responsibility finally and has maintained it? And I think they're doing a good job, too. What do you think?
Yeah, I think they're doing a great job. It's the company Y2 Cleaning. They're doing a great job. I thank the city administration, the city council, and all those guys to finally take time to care about our plantation workers and family that came before us in the Eva community. You know, and it's just disturbing when Carol called me up, because, you know, I told Carol a little bit in January when she called me up. It was a shotgun kind of deal. She said, Kurt, I need your help. I need you to be the chair of my nonprofit. And I said, you know, I don't even know nothing about it, and I cannot put myself in that situation. I need to, you know, look into it and find out more information. She said, no, I got to know now. I got to know now. And I, you know, I told her, well, if that's the case, then I cannot do it. It's a no, you know. So she hung up the phone, and, you know, not thinking anything about it, Carol, Tom, that this was going to play out, that she was going to get a grant for that nonprofit that she was asking me to be the chair of. But I remember when she came in January, and she rarely comes to the neighborhood board, but when she did come in January to explain what she had done, not showing up for vote for the SB1 same-sex marriage, she said that she was told by her boss in the House to not to embarrass him by voting no. So she said to me, the only way I can secure funds now, this is not the funds that I thought she was, now I figure out that's the funds she was talking about, mm-hmm. Putting two and two together. She told me if I embarrass him and say no to this or yes or whatever the situation is, I'm going to be chastised, and Ever Beach is going to lose a lot of money. And she came. And she came to the neighborhood board, Tom, I'm not sure if you've seen the minutes, and she actually said, this Carol, to the board, exactly what I'm saying right now. She said exactly that, and I told her, why would you say this on Olelo, knowing that your boss is going to see it, that you're going to get money from them because you didn't show up to vote? That's the bottom line. And now, down the road, I see all this in the news that she's trying to get money for a cemetery that we've been doing for almost 5 years.
So the work's already been done and is being done.
Yes.
But Carol, uh-huh. She drives by this and says this in the Hawaii Reporter, Malia Zimmerman's coverage on this. She says, I've been driving by the cemetery. I drive by twice a day, and I haven't seen it being taken care of.
Well, Kurt got a little antidote for that. What was that, Kurt?
Well, this is my own analogy, and Tom, you know this, and because you work for her, and even our senator, they don't drive into Eva Beach, as far as I know. they don't live in our community. They have so-called crash pads that they go to sleep because they work so hard at the legislation that they cannot drive 15 minutes into Eva Beach with our beautiful Fort Weaver Road widening that there's no traffic now in the North-South Road. But if you don't pass the graveyard, you won't know that it was cut. Mm-hmm. So they still think it's back in when the grass was growing, planting, when it was raining. So that's the reason why she didn't know.
You know, Kurt, I want to ask, if you don't mind, Carol. What? You know, I want to bounce this off you as well. As you know, I worked at the legislature for 11 years as an office manager. And when the grant and aid season would come about, the competition was so fierce. Folks would call, they'd lobby, they'd show up at the state capitol and they'd ask, even if it wasn't related to the district. It could be from the Big Island. They'll show up your door of the representative from Eva Beach and says, look, you know, I really need your help. So my question to you guys is, since in ethics, the law, the rules of ethics, you can't use state the compound, whatever, the entire state grounds for lobbying purposes if you're an employee. So, in other words, the nonprofit that Rep. Cavanilla has masterminded here, outside of Tony Bise, you know, the elder gentleman, but which we all respect, is that the staff was not able then to lobby legally during state time at that building to Ty Cullen. Representative Cullen is the manager. He's the guy that takes these applications and sifts through them, says, he should, in my opinion, should have had a protocol. You're in good standing, you're not in good standing. Just because someone turned an application and said they're in good standing doesn't, that needs to be reviewed. Obviously, this is the question for you guys. So, when the grant and aid was put in at $200,000, how and why did it get reduced to $100,000? From my experience, that would have to be in concurrence. In other words, don't you think if I was going to give you money, Kurt, I would ask you, if you told me you needed $200,000 to take care of the cemetery, and then I says, well, I'm only going to give you $100,000, I need to know if that $100,000 will work for you. Now, that means there have to be a paper trail, a phone trail, a document trail of some kind, that the communication with Representative Cullen and Cavanilla with the Eva Historical Society, that the $200,000 to $100,000 reduction, I would just deduce that there had to have been communication. Now, Cavanilla says in the Hawaii Reporter again that it's been stagnant. It's a secretive process. They've had no communication. There's been no in fact, she claims she didn't know 4 days after her own colleagues put out a blog press release on the website and said, hey, everybody, it's April 25th. Voila, here's the 55 grant and aid recipients unveiled. And Rep. Cavanilla said she didn't know, or staff didn't know. They didn't read their emails that day. If they turned on their computer, they would have seen the communication. So 4 days later, on the 29th, she doesn't disclose because she says in the Hawaii Reporter coverage, I didn't know my grant and aid request had been honored, that had received the award. So we got to all think here. The $200,000 to $100,000, the very day of Friday, April 25th, she's over at the DCCA filing whatever papers they are, probably for, you know, disclosure of reorganization or you know, the status with the IRS. But that is April 25th, the very day that the announcement is made that her nonprofit is to receive this money, and yet claim, after the story breaks, I've had absolutely no clue to this.
Right. So look at this. Thanks to Tina Quizon of Pathways of Paradise, she pulled up an application that Cavanilla's organization, the Eva Historical Society, and give me a minute here to. It was submitted by Tony Bise, as you mentioned. Mm-hmm. And it was submitted on 1/31/14, confirming what you're saying. And it says here, the amount of money under the budget request, the form that was filed, budget request by source of funds, $200,000. Now, funny thing is, in her filings, she shows the organization chart. On her filings, she put, President is Tony Bise. Vice President is Chris Manabot. Board of Directors, Stephen Nordell, Philip Mun Lee, Rita Cavanilla, Kibu Pantothan Han. But in the filing at DCCA, she only lists the officers as Rita T.R. Arakawa. Now, I don't know if that's to throw people off, but, she's Cavanilla, so now all of a sudden she's filing and that was April 13th of 2013. Then there's Stephen Nordell, who's a vice president and director, and then there's her son. So some of these things I'm going to read, and some of you have read these things in the newspaper and what have you, but I thought, after Tom alerted me, I would go and try to find this, and I wanted to make sure that the big question is, how did she even get to the point of reducing it? I don't see any paperwork to say.
I have to interject, Carol. Listen, you guys. On March 7th, I was basically in tears on this during the auditorium of the Capitol. They flew in from all over the state, and they're there bleeding their hearts out, asking for legitimate, warranted, good causes. The so-called the essence of need, and yep. These are the essentials, right? And they came here, and they all testified on March 7th. Over 230 applicants spent hours in testifying. Cavanilla's group doesn't even show up on March 7th to even advocate, to lobby, to request for the funding. Now, many of the nonprofits were called back to the table, and they were scrutinized. They were, what do you need this money for? Where's it going? Who's going to handle it? What's going to happen when the money's gone? You know, legitimate questions. So the Eva Historical Society, by not showing up on March 7th, there was no disclosure or it be made known that the money was obsolete. There's absolutely, on March 7th, had it been they shown up, you would think that it would have been, did the contract that we all know that was executed about a year ago, is that what's going on with this? So here's my point, bringing you full speed, is that Cavanilla is still saying that the money is needed, Kurt, that the community wants this, Kurt, and that's where I'm coming to you by saying it can't be used for anything but mowing, you know, weed whacking. You can't use it to fix, headstones. You can't use it to fix the manager's mansion. You can't use it for any other purpose than to weed whack. $200,000. So,
Tom, here, with this, let me just walk through this just a little bit to keep us. Budget justification, capital projects. She indicated on this form, plans, zero. Land acquisition, zero monies. Design, zero. For construction, she indicated that she would need $195,000 for construction, and then for equipment, $5,000.
No, the construction is labor.
Yeah, I understand, but again, this is, and for she's going to use a landscaper at $21 an hour. At $42,000, and she's saying three landscapers here. Groundskeeper's going to get $11.50. Three groundskeepers. Is that the Lions Club? Or who, if you guys are doing the work at the Lions Club, why does she need any money on landscapers?
You know, before anybody stepped in, and Tom knows this, the city went back and forth with Ever Villages and who owns that graveyard. So we decided as the Lions Club to step up and take care of our family that's there. We would call and collaborate with work furlough guys at the prison. We would call clean and sober houses in the area. We would collaborate with a lot of people and had great sponsors like the Ever Beach McDonald's would come up with the food. It didn't cost the taxpayers a dime. Mm-hmm. We bought 4 used lawnmowers that my dad fixed or even the junk ones that people threw away. That my dad fixed and repaired. Mm-hmm. We get 8 to 10 weed whackers from the Lions Club that we do on our own when we get the volunteers. But the prisoners, mind you, now she's talking about 3 landscapers, whatever she's calling. Are they going to stay there every day? Because it only took the prisoners with 20 of them now, took them 3 hours to clean that whole graveyard. So the rest of the time, what they're going to be doing? Walking in a circle and getting paid? I mean, that's crazy, Carol. Another one was, when we first started this, was my wife, my daughter, and my 4 nephews. Okay? Took us 1.5 days, Tom. 1.5 days. So you tell me you're going to budget something like that for a groundskeeper to go over there and fix headstones? That's not what we was trying to do and to accomplish there. Because some of the headstones is out of repair. You don't want to touch it because it's historic. You just want to make things clean around it. We're not going to do that kind of repairs.
We have to clarify. The $200,000, as Carol just mentioned, the breakdown, there's no grave marker restoration whatsoever. Okay. There's no preservation whatsoever. There's nothing there being diverted to the Eva Manager's Mansion, to any other of the common element properties for the historic Eva Villages. So when we're coming back to what Carol, I think, wanted to examine further is how is it that a nonprofit with over 230 competing for $10 million, these were small pickings, right? It used to be much greater pot than that.
Yes.
And so the 55 recipients, those that were turned away, those that were denied, that's what I'm offended about.
Yes.
Is that to this day, the legislative body is still backing up, leaving this to be, that, well, you know, if the governor's going to release it or not, you know, heck, you know, let's it'll be a good fight, Cabanelli against the people, because she's going to continue to say that the $100,000 now is still needed. And I'm asking her, if she were participating here with us, what would you use that money for right now if you got it?
See, the thing is, I agree with you, Tom, and I told Carol this. She doesn't know the trickle effect, what's happening now. By getting this money or not getting it yet, this money was promised to her by the people that she made deals for the same-sex thing. I really putting everything together as we go on here, and I was talking to Carol, and he was educating me on some of this things and how she wrote two names, different names, Arakawa and Cabanella. We know that she owns a lot of apartments downtown where her son lives. But what I try to explain to Carol, Tom, and you know this, I try very hard in the community to get donations from McDonald's, different companies, different. We have a lot of companies, plumbing companies, fencing companies, construction companies, and so forth. Now, here I am. I'm going to be going, hey, Tom, you have a construction company. Can I have you help us come and maybe fix the fence? Why should I, Kurt? It's in the news. Your representative got $100,000 for the graveyard. Why don't you guys fix it and use that money? Wait a minute. But remember me and you was talking that you was going to donate that time and we was going to work with each other? Yeah, but you got money now. She doesn't understand. Now that she had made this known around the state, it's going to get hard time to get volunteers and free stuff for our community. No taxpayers have to pay for it.
I got a question. Do you recall, if any, how many times or how often Rita Cabanilla and her son ever went to the, or members of her board went to the cemetery to do any work? Have you ever seen her out there?
Never. She never asked for help.
What did this newfound love? Come on, help me out, Tom.
I'll tell you what. I remember in the late 90s, Lance Arakawa used to live in the manager's mansion.
Yes.
They used to have once a year, you know, they have the Eva Villages Family Fun Fair, and the Eva Manager's Mansion on a little over 2 acres, beautiful historic building on the register, state register. And that building, Mayor Hanneman was in office, and they shut everybody out and says, no more public meetings, you can't use the grounds anymore. In 2006, the manager's mansion was falling apart. No monies was being expended on it. People were kicked out, couldn't use the building, literally falling down.
Yes.
And so I resurrected. The Eva Historical Society fizzled out in the year 2000, something like that.
As city councilman?
No, I was in 2006.
Oh, okay.
2006, I started the Eva Historical Society, resurrected it, and we asked for $5 million now. Now, $5 million, $2.5 million per year, to do what the city and counties is still hasn't done, but is still saying they need. They said they need $4 million to open up the manager's mansion to the public. They've already spent $1 million-ish or so on cosmetics, okay, just exterior, to keep the building from falling down.
Yep.
But now, Carol, the mission statement that the community wants to preserve the cemetery, the history of the manager's mansion, these common elements, the bachelor's quarters, the Eva Mill site, absolutely we could use some help. But we don't want a double billing scheme to do it. We don't want the city, we don't want to use our tax dollars to have the city pay for the city to accomplish the task, and then have the state do the same thing. Now, we all know Rep. Cabanilla could not have put this in a CIP because you can't mix state on city land, city jurisdiction. So the Eva Manager's Mansion, condemned in the 70s, the city's been responsible all this time since the late 70s. All this time they've had the deed to the cemetery, okay? And they've neglected to take care of it. So finally, when July 1, 2013 came around as a big day, that it's now going to be taken care of, you would think the actual nonprofit that is so concerned about this cemetery would have had a party.
No. I just, to me, it's something that what Tom talking about, all the nonprofits that
I just witnessed something, a rare occasion. The three of us, Tom Berg, Carol Cox, and Kurt Favela, had a pause for longer than 30 seconds. I can't do it. No way.
it's because it's so stressful to see our community hurting like this. Like Tom said, he came to tears. I mean, when they called me to come over there and do the interview at the cemetery, I didn't even want to do. I didn't want to have that kind of black eye for the community.
Right.
I just feel that she should stop talking, going in the newspaper, going on TV or whatever. Because like I was telling Ben at the interview, I said she's getting the foot and mouth disease. You know, like sometimes the kids get that fungus. The more she talks, the more the fungus grows. She should just give the money back, or if she didn't get it yet, just tell them, give it to the nonprofits, like Tom said, that came all over the islands, desperately needing these funds. They should just give the money back and help maybe more than 20 or maybe more nonprofits by splitting that money up.
Mm-hmm.
We don't need it. We don't need it. Not at the Ever Graveyard.
You know, Cabanelli disclosed in the final waning days of the 2010 legislative session, she disclosed that she was a party to the of a historical society when a resolution on its behalf was being massaged through the legislative body. So she fully was aware of her responsibility to disclose and to err, you know, on the side, you know, to be cautious, because there was another bill that had dealt with her treasurer. It was going to, you know, assist her campaign treasurer, who was in the nursing business, and she had on the House floor had to apologize. Okay, now I'm not here to knock her down, but I'm saying is that I remember, because I worked for her then, that she said, I will always remember to be more cautious and take the extra step to be careful, and to always let my colleagues know if there could be even a potential of conflict of interest. So here we fast forward. She in 2010 says, I have a conflict with the Historical Society, but 2014, the $200,000, the double billing scheme, the I didn't know this, I didn't know that. And I really think that the community, as you said, Kurt, shouldn't have to go lobby the governor now to try to put a stop to this.
Yes. I just think this, Carol, it is her reward. She spoke on it, not directly. She went a ring around the roses. But that is her reward, making the deals that she made, not showing up for the vote. And I don't want to sound like a broken record, but if you keep talking, Tom and Carol, and putting all this together, you don't need to be a rocket scientist. I graduated Campbell. I'm not a scientist. So I have all that kind of degrees. But I can put two and two together, and it doesn't make nine. So the bottom line is, give the money back. Stop making a community a mockery, and just say, I'm sorry, I didn't do my research. I'm sorry I don't attend the neighborhood board. Just apologize. Don't keep trying to defend yourself because you make yourself look more guilty.
When is she up for election?
They're all up every 2 years.
Yep, so, she's up this year.
So the question is, if and when she gets elected out of office, I mean, I've watched her for years, and she's had there isn't a week that go by that she didn't have some kind of controversy or some idiotic behavior disclosed in the paper or something.
Well, wait. You know, in her CIP, in the press release out on the 5th of May, it says, we got $3 million to put the third lane in over Fort Weaver Road to Farrington Highway. And I go, my God, that's been in for months. And she's still making an announcement like, we're going to put a third lane in. It's already there. Like Kurt said, does she drive into Eva Beach? And the
she owns a helicopter.
Is she still an officer in the – wasn't she active military or reserve or something?
No. Well, I don't know. I just thought she just liked to wear the kind of clothes. I'm not sure.
You know, before I lose thought on this, because you brought it up, the bill regarding the marijuana export is that the Attorney General Holder put a prohibition that, albeit Washington and Colorado may continue – you can't transport from one state to the other. So if Hawaii were to even legalize, you know, pass her bill and was growing marijuana, we would not be able to export it to anybody in the United States. And Uruguay and Holland, they got their own. So the bill was, again, on its foundation, obsolete, unnecessary. There's other more important priorities to be discussing to try, you know, for the greater good, than to bring forward $3 million for a road that's already in, $200,000 for the grass that's already being cut, a bill that is obsolete by design, it's flawed, you know.
All she has to do is come to the neighborhood board. Mm-hmm. The second Thursday of every month at the Ever Beach Library, you're our elected official. Come to the meetings, regardless if her opponents that didn't win in the previous elections come and keep her to the fire, which she should be because she's our She works for us.
Right.
I think they just forget that they think that we work for them.
Mm-hmm.
They need to stop having the idea that government runs the state. It's mm-hmm. the people. And she needs to know that. And she's been many times in the community. And Tom, you know this. You're being very nice to them. Praise the Lord for that. But the bottom line is she's been very arrogant over the years.
Mm-hmm.
She says she'll get elected because she's Filipino.
Right.
That's what she said, Carol.
Mm-hmm.
And I tell her, why you going to be on Olelo? Conduct yourself in a certain way because you're a representative. Why? I'm going to be voted in. They're going to vote me back in anyway.
Mm-hmm.
That's her attitude. She comes twice, maybe twice a year, Tom. Comes to the meetings before the election and after the election to tell people thanks. Then you don't see her. She's in the wind. She blames that the neighborhood board community treats her mean and blah, blah, blah. She doesn't want to go. She's the victim. And Tom knows he worked for her. She ain't no victim. She's a victimizer, but she ain't no victim. The bottom line here is she needs to shape up or get out. There's other people there. And, you know, I sadly say that Tom didn't beat her, but I think Tom would have done a better job than Rita Carbonella. You know, Tom knows when he first ran, we hung out together and whatnot. But, you know, if Tom won, I think we'd have a better representation because he's passionate. Sometimes, you know, goes overboard, but he's very passionate for the community.
Well, let me ask you something, going digressing a bit. You mentioned her proposal for marijuana. Now, we have a difficult time in shipping our veggies and fruits. Now, was she proposing to irradiate this marijuana that she would be shipping out to prevent fruit flies and other bugs? What was...
You know. That's a very good point. And what Kurt mentioned earlier is that when you see you've made a mistake or that, you know, it's best to just admit that you may have not known everything about this and you just thought, well, gosh, I know the cemetery needs help and I put it in. I really think the discussion should shift to the manager, Representative Ty Collin, Representative Sylvia Luke, who's the chair of finance, and say to Speaker Suki, are you really telling me that you folks never contacted anyone in the Eva Historical Society to tell them, will $100,000 suffice instead of two? You mean you gave this nonprofit who never asked you for the money, after they handed you the application, they would put their hands up in the air, walked away, turned their backs on you. Do you really think that, Kurt, I'm a constituent. I don't believe that from January 31st, 2014 to when April 25th, 2014, when it was announced, that there was not one iota of communication between the finance, leadership, and the staff and Carbonelli herself in that office. Because if there is, and it turns up to be, that would then, like I say, trigger the Attorney General for action of ethics violation laws.
Yes.
Okay, that right there. So instead, what we're getting, Carol, Kurt, is we're getting an orgy in that building where they're holding hands and saying, you can't touch me. They're touching themselves,
mm-hmm.
but they're not letting us see what they're doing.
Here's a text, and I just have to read this. Apparently... It's her actions are inflammatory, or to say the least, upsetting to most people. There is the Loins Club, and there's the Liars Club. Cabanilla is a grave robber. Cosmetics and shoes are what she earmarked those funds for. Take her shoes and burn them up first before putting her feet under the fire. So... something that's sacred. This is a cemetery.
Yes.
Why would you take such pilikia to a cemetery? I mean, I don't know what your spirituality is, but certain things for me are off. Certain things I wouldn't do in as near or around a cemetery, just for my personal belief. So you let the peace. Why would you incorporate the deceased?
A lot of people don't realize it, but in 1947, around there, I think, in Etobah, I don't have the exact date, and I totally forgot, but I do drive by the graveyard every day, though. Anyway, but it's called the Memorial of the Pioneers.
Mm-hmm.
I think a Japanese, and don't quote me on this right now, I didn't do the research, I only heard it from the radio station. They have a Japanese club It's a Lions Club that comes every so many years, Tom. I'm not sure if you remember. Every so many years, and they go and offer up incense onto that that thing that they made, the monument. And when they was doing that, we didn't have enough time to cut it down, so we would make trails, you know?
Right.
We didn't have enough people. We would make trails so that they could get from their side of the road to the monument to the that monument. Was given to the Elva community, the Memorial of the Pioneers. So that's why I tell everybody the correct name of it is the Memorial of the Pioneers. When they say graveyard, cemetery, I mean, I'm not saying that's disrespectful, but these people spent money to come from Japan, build this monument on the behalf of the falling plantation workers. She doesn't even know the correct name.
And that's that large monolith or that stone there that's okay.
Yeah, I've seen
you
know,
that.
And that's the reason why, you know, like when I participated with Tom on the Marines airfield where the first people got killed during the World War II, I got to participate with Tom and some other guys. The Lions Club volunteered to bring the water and so forth. But those are the kind of things that we need to concentrate on, because our community members died. There was the first two. One was a plantation worker, and one was a child that died. There was the first two casualties in that war.
Yeah, we're coming down to the last couple of minutes. Are you guys going to join me in the next hour?
Absolutely, if needed.
No, if you need us.
I need you.
Okay.
Love to have you back. So go ahead. You had a quick one.
Oh, just that the private cemeteries, you know, have a foundation or a funding mechanism built in.
Yes.
This doesn't have that. So the uniqueness is this is the only cemetery in the city's inventory, and that's why for these decades they just never applied any directive towards it for resources, not knowing how to handle a cemetery, and that's their excuse.
Okay, we're going to come back in the next hour. This is the Carol Cox Show. Please join us. You can also, again, listen to it live on podcast, or I'm sorry, on the stream at KWAI 1080 AM, 1080 AM, and stream it live, or you can go to the Carol Cox Show and access it there. Also, after the show, you can pick up this on podcast if you missed something, like to hear more. And we're going to post a couple pictures of the cemetery of the Pioneer. What is it?
Memorial of the Pioneers.
Memorial of the Pioneers. I read that over there on the stones that were. Okay, well, thank you, and we'll be back. Aloha.
tuned for the second half of the Carol Cox Show right after the news on KWAI Honolulu, K108. Time for the Carol Cox Show right here at K108. If you have questions or comments for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080. And now here's Carol.
Good morning again. Welcome back to the Carol Cox Show. Lovely day here. And my guest is Mr. Tom Berg, former city council member, and Mr. Kurt Favela, who's a citizen, activist, Lions Club member, just an overall big-hearted guy like myself. And Tom is here sharing with us. We're talking about the ever-historical society and its efforts to grab hold of money, much-needed money, by others. Little children are starving, and people need some medical evaluations. And Rita Cabanilla, she wants to get $200,000 and go and help her son to become the manager of, so we're just trying to toss that around and see if we can, through this process, encourage you to call the governor and Joe Suki and ask them, what's up with that, man? All of that money just out there given to someone that's going to buy some weed whackers. As we've heard, they're already got enough weed whackers. And she hadn't seen the graveyard, the cemetery, or the memorial for many times. So, anyway, we know what a farce is. And Kirk, he thinks that it's something to do with payback. I know it's payback. I can't put my fingers on it. But what does that say about our whole system that as Tom pointed out, other organizations get on the plane spending their money that they don't have to fly over here and lobby or campaign for funds that they really need to carry on the good work. And yet some legislator can just through the back door, didn't even use the back door actually, it was through the phone, didn't even have to show up and compete or justify or sell her ideas, because I'm sure they would have, all of them would have just looked at her and go, what the... Anyway, Tom, go ahead. What is this AIG or the AAG?
The grants program.
Yeah.
This process, as Cabanilla stated in the Hawaii Reporter article, she says it's highly secretive. Now, she's in the position to either condone it, have a sense of apathy, or I don't care, but to say it's highly secretive, I raised an eyebrow, because that now shifted the blame back to the process. So if the process is secretive, and she didn't even know that her application received the award, that if it's that secretive, let's just turn the clock back in the good old days when they had the surplus. When Representative Maguai, North Shore side of Oahu, when he headed up the GIA like Representative Ty Collin does today, he made the most money for his campaign coffers than anybody else in the business. It is a way to funnel money. When you're at the helm of the GIA, if it's that secretive, do we know who you're calling? Who's calling you? Apparently we don't, because when Carol Cox puts out a call to the powers that be and says, I'd like to know if there is communication to Representative Cabanilla and her staff in regards with the Finance Committee, on this, and how did it come to be? Because it is very odd that one who didn't even lobby or fight for the funds got the funds. Those that did fight for it didn't get it. So now I look at the culpability of Asuki on down and say, how come you're not standing up for justice? And you know what I want to say to them if they were here? You have dirty hands. And you've given us all dirty hands. Because Representative Cabanilli is going to our community, her staff at the neighborhood board this past Thursday, saying, hey, who wants a part of the money? Come on, apply for the job, right? We're still looking in how we're going to spend this money. And my jaw drops, and I look over to Representative Ty Collin and says, you're the one to blame for this. Cabanilli is Cabanilli, and we can go for hours about that. But Representative Ty Collin, why isn't the scrutiny on him to say, you accepted an application that was not in good standing, violation of 42F, Section 103, and so what are you going to do about it? Are you going to say, hey, Representative Cabanilli, you advanced an application that you knowingly knew could not compete for these funds? You have to be in good standing with your IRS and your filings. So she should have been disqualified on April 25th. So the legislative body, when they said on the 25th, you get the award, Cabanilli is saying it was very secretive, right? It's so secretive. So on the 25th, when she gets the award, I'd like to know, why is it that her colleagues, after finding out from you and I and others that have exposed all this, they had until May 1 to rectify. The last day of session, they could have put a proviso, some type of something, stuck something in some piece of legislation. They could have done a waiver on the floor in the House and Senate and actually done communications to the governor and said, Governor, in House Bill 1700, Conference Draft 1, there is in the grant and aid process, you know, the grant and aids, an application for the $100,000 we would like you to disregard. Not one person in that building, outside of Senator Sam Sloan, you guys, is asking for that. So the double billing scheme that Representative Cabanilli had, in my opinion, concocted is that she's still lobbying for it today with her staff, with the House, and with the House majority leadership on their website and on their blog. So when they put out on May 5th, after all this has been said and done, they're still saying, hey, look at us. We got the $100,000 for the Evans Cemetery. They're still advertising this action.
You know, that's why I couldn't believe that even though this came in a paper in the community and, you know, other leaders asking for her to give back that money, she's still asking, like Tom said, the community, come and be a part of my organization because we need more community people. But you cannot do it backwards.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You have to actually have the foundation and be proven that you are serving the community and the right people, not self-serving. So don't back up and running backwards and try to win the race and say, hey, now you can join us. We got the money. So now the money is the attraction to be part of this so-called not-so-straight line organization. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I was like $32 an hour to clean a graveyard.
To get the money, she displayed no sensitivity to the process, to the people, to the ethics, or anything. But then all of a sudden, she wants to gather around the people. That's like taking the villagers around you to prevent the others from attacking you.
Carol, I want to work for you. And on the application form, it says, have you been arrested for a felony?
Mm-hmm.
If I knowingly lie on that form, That's what Speaker Suki's job is. Cabanilli lied on the form. Not Tony Bise, the elderly gentleman who got the paper stuck to him, you know, in the middle of the night, and then she takes
sure
it, turns it in.
She's not accused of a felon. It's just an example you're drawing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. That she put false. I mean, someone listening go, really? Well, then why is she arrested? No, but you know how people. But I know what you're saying. You're saying that if she put false information to obtain monies, that's just absolutely wrong. But in her case, she should never have been putting in for any money because she's a legislator, and this is monies that her co-workers or her compadres or whoever would be voting on. And somewhere down there, I think she even voted on the the total approval of the bill.
That's where the disclosure was supposed to take place. It was the morning of Tuesday, April 29th, the morning of when House Bill 1700, Conference Draft 1, was finally agreed upon. Mind you, if we go back on when she says the GIA is secretive, we, the public, didn't even know that the lump sum was $10 million. So of the 230-plus that they're out there vying for this grant and aid back in January, they had no clue how much was going to be dispensed, so to speak. Mm-hmm. So when it finally came down, hey, here's $10 million, and we're giving it to these 55 organizations, we, the public, we, the people, have to look at this beyond Cavanilia and say, this system is flawed. It's inherently asking for this type of relationship, exchange of money, in a closed-door environment. There was no other hearing outside of March 7th. So in other words, from March 7th to April 29th, it wasn't as if they could say, we've whittled down the applicants from 230-plus down to these 55. All those of the 55, are you still in good standing, blah, blah, whatever. Some type of dialogue for the public at large, instead of this surprise, here's the unveiling, and nobody knew what was going on.
You know, Carol, even on as volunteers, and Tom was on the board also in Ever Beach, even as volunteers, when anything that we're going to vote on that's going to be a conflict of interest as a board member voting, before the meeting or before the vote, either the person steps out or disclose what organization and what, you know, stuff that you're part of. So, you know, when you're talking about that kind of money and that kind of power and authority, it comes back to the same thing again. We just lost all aspects of government being government, not for the people and by the people. It's government for the government. Mm-hmm. And this is the bottom line. It's exactly what Tom is saying now. They just made these decisions and they was going to go with it. They didn't know the application was bad. They didn't know it had two names on the application. They didn't do no research. Mm-hmm. They so-called, and Tom used to always like to use these words back in the day, they just rubber-stamped it.
Mm-hmm.
And they let it go through. But the reason why I'm upset is because we, on the Leeward Coast, is one of the most poorest communities that need and fight tooth and nail. Mm-hmm. Besides the neighbor islands, for grant money. I mean, we have great outreach programs that goes to the homeless shelters and you know, Wyandotte Comprehensive do a lot of outreach for the homeless community, but for not to get the grant money to give them back, not even feeling guilty about it.
What would $200,000 do at Hal Bush, and to the homeless, and what would $200,000 do to help some of the seniors in her district? Living now.
Yes. $200,000 will make a spa. I mean, it would be beautiful. Hal Bush would be unbelievable. You know what I mean?
So
we'll have more than one bathroom. We would have probably golf course grass. I mean, we would have a beautiful beachfront. And then we'd probably have enough money, Tom, to get one of those buildings in Kalailoa to help the less fortunate.
Now, I'm seeing a trend here, and I don't want to impugn the integrity of Will Espera, but Cavanilla. But I notice here, the other one, Manahan, he has his wife working for him and running the office and a couple others. So what are we getting from this district out in
Mizuno? That's Representative Mizuno.
And Mizuno. What are we getting with these guys when Espera has his son down there working, running the Second Chance or whatever they homeless shelter or a high-level job. Cavanilla has her son. Is it about them and not about us?
That's the thing. I mean, I just was talking, had a meeting. We just was talking about Mr. Jason Espero, and the Waikiki Health Center. Hal Bush is their district. From Hal Bush to town, they cover the area.
Right.
They so-called put on their paper that they come out once a month on a Wednesday. We've been having sweeps, and we hardly have any of our residents living down there now. But they just did a sweep maybe 2 weeks ago on a Friday. I asked the less fortunate community members, did they have any agencies to give you resources or put you on a list so that you can be on a shelter list. They never heard of them. When we put together the task force to clean up Hull Bush, and we had all the agencies, I had to bring agencies from Waianae and from Waianae Outreach mm-hmm. to come and service us. But they don't get the money or the resources to come here.
Mm-hmm. Caller, good morning. You have a comment or question for this group here?
No. I just wanted to make a comment about your issue.
My issue?
Yeah, your unfortunate circumstance.
You know, the blood coming from your nose right now?
Oh, okay. Go ahead and make it short and sweet.
Okay. Well, I would like to offer you my self-defense course. It's called a flight self-defense. Or I can sell you a disguise. I have a Jimmy Hoffa disguise.
Okay. All right.
Not funny, huh?
Jimmy Hoffa, you want me to have a Jimmy Hoffa disguise?
Yeah.
Well, I thought the guy thought my head was a baseball. I didn't. That was good enough for him. He tried to drive a home run. But, you know, I guess it's maybe someone told him this is how you learn what people think, and you get to see firsthand what they think. Hit him upside the head. I don't know. But thank you, caller.
Okay.
All right. Denise, go ahead. You have a comment or question for the...
Hello?
Go ahead, Denise.
Hi. Thank you for your insight and your oversight. I was the one that made those comments. Not only did she steal from the people, but she stole from those who were dead.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I called her a grave robber.
All right.
Those and her cronies. But that you have these gentlemen there, if anybody can point me in the direction so that I can exact some kind of justice for myself, mm-hmm. you know my story. Mm-hmm. But... the same thing that happened to you, for the most part, happened to me, and it was the dirty hands of corrupt police that did this. You know, it's a shame that you are the voice of the people, and this was the response. Better that it happened to you, and that you were able to survive and tell this story so that people can see how corrupt this system really is. It's time mm-hmm. for people to stand up. People are going to have to stand up and push people like that out of office,
mm-hmm.
especially on the Leeward Coast, especially on the Leeward Coast. I called Tulsi Gabbard's representative, her liaison. I told her my story. Didn't get a word from her. Called the governor. Nothing. You know, I'm trapped here.
Mm-hmm.
Through no fault of my own. You know, I need to find a way for somebody to represent me in court to sue those police officers who did this to me, just like you. You know, I hope you take every single one of them down. There was no call for them to respond that way.
Yeah.
And for them to have the arrogance, the unmitigated call to put their hands on you the way they did to drive their point across. And try and instill fear in the hearts of the next person who sees you as the true calling, that savior, that voice that will inspire somebody else to do the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that you're on the air today and your chest is out, you've got the pride, and you have those who are there with you who understand the wrong in this society. Bless you.
Okay, well, thank you.
Bless you.
Thank you. All right, go ahead, guys. Any comments?
You know, Kalalailoa, you know, the whole area out there, and what happened to you, Carol. Renton Roosevelt, Kurt, the extension, the gate,
yes.
Right by the Hawaiian Railway Society. We've all been asking for a street light there to illuminate. It's dark, it's a bus stop there, mm-hmm. and it's dangerous. We can't even get a street light hooked up when the Hawaiian Railway Society says, we're a nonprofit, you can put it on our property. we'll pay the electric bill. Mm-hmm. But that would go on the easement, and we have to get permission with the state and city to be involved.
Well, so no
government entity is going to put the street light there, okay, by the bus. So that's that money of the $200,000 and the $100,000 is we could sit here and rattle off the little stuff, the pony league, the football leagues, where you know mom and dads are paying parents to store the football equipment in a storage locker. They're paying those bills.
Yes.
And all the little things. In fact, Kurt remembers back in the day he helped champion, I believe it was, to do a nonprofit for the family members who had their children couldn't afford to play sports.
Yes.
See, that money would be better used for transparent, where people can see them, what's happening with the funds.
Yes.
In this instance with Carbonalia, the landscapers doesn't go through procurement process. We don't know. They'll hire those landscapers, six of them, mind you, at $195,000 to mow that lawn for 1 year, $195,000. She does the internal hiring. Okay, folks need to know that. So when the caller calls up and says, you know, I'm just exhausted, I need help, the police or whatever has happened to me and what's happened to Carol, we're all in this together.
Yeah.
Caller, good morning. Go ahead with your comment or question.
Well, my comment is, you know, the two representatives, one is a councilman, one's a member of the state senate, they have their wives working for them. I live in their district. And now the district I live in, Mr. Manahan, I believe he was born in the Philippines, and John Mizuno's wife is from the Philippines, or you know, maybe a local Filipino girl. But there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, that's all fine and good. But it just, they kind of advertise the ethnicity type thing, Mr. Mizuno's wife. And so that he's very popular. And I think it's sort of an ethnic thing that he uses to garner votes because of the district he lives in, and it seems to bother me a little bit that someone can be employed in government and have their wife report directly to them. It just, there may not be a law against it.
I'd like to chime in, sir. Sir, yeah. You know, the nepotism law is effective at the county level. When I was in the city council, I could not hire siblings, relatives, what have you, you know, third cousins. But at the state legislature, they don't have sunshine law. They can make waivers to waivers. As you know, the GIA process is secretive. Mm-hmm. So you can hire whom you want. There's no. I was hired. I worked there for 11 years. And as far as drug tests, you know, and those types of things, you know, let's look at Rita Carbonalia's son. Did he disclose that he's with this nonprofit? Because everyone who works there full time, as does Chris Montabat, Representative Carbonalia's son. So when you're talking about the nepotism at the state legislative level, he was supposed to disclose that he was a member of the EVA Historical Society. Did he disclose that? That form is not available online for you and I to look at. So when Carbonalia put down that she's a member on this ethics disclosure form, those are the things that you know, have to work hard on to find out. If you didn't know Mizuno had his wife or so-and-so with other relatives, that's another mechanism you could deploy is you go down to the ethics folks, and they'll have on file for you if you request it. You can see each office. You can pick a legislator, and you can look at their staff and say, who's affiliated with what? Because our radar screen went off on Rita Carbonalia. Imagine their own internal employees. What's their conflict?
Yeah.
Well, let me just chime in here and remind us all that while hopefully we're not able to just see what we want to see, because let's work back upstream. If we're insisting that it's because they're a Filipina, I would submit this to you.
Mm-hmm.
They're a growing population, but they were not, and we've had legislators in office for years, at least some 50 years. longer. And the Calvin Says and the Mizunus and the Mitsugashis all of the... So everybody is to be blamed here because we still have a legislative body that has little or no ethics, rules,
yes,
and laws. So
I guess that's the point. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you follow. So that I would say the whole damn bundle of them is just usually... Once, just use the term politician, and what we have is just corrupt, unethical people, selfish, whether it's be your Japanese, black, or whatever, those legislators that came and went, they are to be blamed. And unless we can say that it is illegal for Mizuno to, you know, we know what the inference is, and you and I know that nepotism is nepotism. How do you legislate it? How do you regulate it? But Calvin Say, he found no reason to change the rules. He said he saw no problem with it. And good government is clean government, right? But if you have your niece and your nephew and your wife running the people's office...
Let me say this for you folks. You may not know this. When I first worked for Cavanaglia in 2005, and I was looking through the filing cabinets, when she first won her election in 2004, she had hired her cousin... Her husband, at the time, was her fiancé, another cousin. The entire staff was family members and extended members. And when a legislator takes over an office and the rules are from 8 to 5, you can't campaign on state time, well, your boss says to that rule, you know what? They worked for me Saturday and Sunday. I put in 28 hours. So when you saw them sign waving from 8 to noon all last week on state time, that's because they made it up on Saturday and Sunday. So the rules of that internal, that whole, how that thing comes about, they're immune. And they've made sure they're immune from that scrutiny. And we got to change it.
Yeah, that's why I totally believe to have an equal, you know, House and Senate. Until we get an equal House and Senate, we're going to have the same old, every day. Unless the people get up, wake up, and vote, we're going to have the same process over and over. Mm-hmm. They got to let their legislators, to the governor down in office from state to city, they work for us. Mm-hmm. We don't work for them. Mm-hmm. And we got to change that mentality of thinking. Like you just said, doesn't matter if they're Filipino, Japanese or Caucasian. The bottom line is they work for us, and they got to remember that and don't have arrogance to make things and deals behind closed doors and on telephones.
Caller, thank you. Any more? Any other comment? Thank
no.
you so much. Aloha, and thanks for joining in.
Hello.
Good morning, caller. Go ahead with your comments or question.
I'm Manalo.
All righty, Uncle Joe. I got Tom Berg here and Kurt Favela.
Hey,
seen any good movies lately, Joe?
Well, you should do that, right? Oh, boy. That was just like yesterday, or was it the day before?
Well, the two of you guys used to go to the movies together?
No, we always talked about various movies that were free, you know, and we went to movies before it became an Academy Award, whatever, Golden, whatever, long before that, you know? We used to talk about the movie. Did you see such a mother on the weekend?
Hey, Uncle Joe, you know Tom is sporting a ponytail, you know?
Oh, no kidding.
I'll email you that picture.
Hey, Tom, now they're going to look regular. And the other person you got there, thank you for reflecting a lot of the stuff that, you know, I remember going down to Eva. I remember going down to pick up Ogo and even Barbara Iole right on a beach.
Yes.
Yeah, that was a beautiful place, you know. You know, I got a question for you in relationship to that. What was the original name of Eva Plantation, the mill?
Well, the area...
And the reason why I'm asking you that question is because of the memorial that they put up for the Pioneer. What was Pioneer Mill? Was that in Eva or was that in Lahaina?
Eva had its Eva Sugar Plantation.
Company. Yeah, I remember. And oh boy.
I can't remember if it was Evo, if Evo right offhand. But when you mentioned Pioneer, that was a reflection back, because even the internment camp was right on the old Evo Road.
Yeah.
Oh boy, lots of fond memories.
There's reference to Kanahili as the whole area before Barber's Point.
Yes.
Known today, Kanahili.
Yeah.
That's where the Malden trails from 1825 go through Kalailoa, and it's so important to protect those trails.
Yes.
Because of the encroachment on them.
I mean, history.
It's incredible what's taking place in that area, and I'm glad to see that Carol Cox is down there monitoring it, because yes, nobody else in government seems to be able to even put a streetlight in that whole 2,000-acre quadrant. So, you know, Uncle Joe, though, your days going back to the Evo Cemetery and in that area, how, since you worked at the state legislature for so many years and know all the elected officials,
all the players,
and you'd bring them to the chambers of the Senate and the House.
Yeah.
How do you read into this Cabanillas comment that the GIA is secretive? Do you believe that it's that secretive, or, you know, what's your take on that?
Give me the meaning, GIA.
Grant in aid.
Oh, grant in aid. Oh. No, I'm not really, really onto that, because my responsibility at the Capitol was, my main responsibility, teach the kids. That was my main responsibility, and teach the incoming staff what the process was. And a classic example of that, Joey Manahan. When Joey became vice speaker, I didn't know Joey was vice speaker, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But in 2011, I went out to get support for the high cost of incarceration versus very little or no rehabilitation. And as a result, when I went to the Democratic rally at Corona Core that just before the session in 2012, I came up to Joey and I told Joey, I need help on this. And he looked at it and he turned around and he told me, well, I developed a resolution, went to Hawaiian Civic Club, got it passed, and then now I'm going to the legislature, yeah? So anyway, I turned around and I told Joey, I need help. He looked at it, he said, Uncle Joe, let's go get Kalani. And I said, Joey, no, I'd rather be slow and sure instead of haste and waste. I don't like spend time. Not knowing that for 14 years, do you remember these women from the Big Island while you were there at the legislature? Their names were Miley Akimsiu, Eleanor Ahuna, and Abby Napiahi. They were warriors. They were warriors with capital letters. Anyway, they tried for 14 years to get back Kulani. And that's when Linda Lingo made it even further out of reach by turning it into, group that you had out in Ever Beach with the kids? Do you remember?
Oh, there's many, many.
It had to do with National Guard.
Oh, yeah, Junior ROTC.
Yeah.
Youth Challenge.
Youth Challenge, right.
Youth Challenge.
Right.
So Linda took Youth Challenge up to Kulani and took over Kulani. But anyway, for 14 years they tried. When Sunday after the rally, Auntie Jill looks at me and she says, look at what I found in the newspaper. Joey is the vice speaker. And I said, oh, my God, I got to go rescind my motion. And I went to see Joey on opening day. And when I went to Joey's office, I turned around and I told him, I told him about Kalani. And he said, Uncle Joe, go get the bill. Mm-hmm. Well, I went to get the bill. 1 year, Tom, 1 year I got the bill passed. Only because I'm so fortunate I knew the players.
Yeah. Hold on, let me get this other call, guys. Hold on. Hold on, Uncle Joe. Caller, good morning. You have a comment, a question?
Yes, thank you very much for taking my call. Thank you, Mr. Burke, for everything you've done. In terms of warriors, remember Barbara Marshall. I want to continue your theme, but transparency doesn't seem to exist in this state. Nestor Garcia was found guilty of conflict of interest. He had censured. He was fined. He paid the fine. The Ethics Commission was put him back into the council within a very short period of time. It is very, very discouraging, and I thank you for all that you have done. Please, please don't quit. Thank you.
You know, there's a good cartoon out there, you know, that when you look at a legislator, it should be like a car racer, yeah? They got the uniform on, and you see all their sponsors on their sleeve and uniform, right? Imagine put a patch on all the lobbyists that represent that elected official. So when you look at the elected official, you can see just exactly who their campaign chest belongs to.
But also, you got to leave room for the have a hand up their back.
Scratching them.
Well, let's ask the caller. How would they make the grant and aid process, because it's attached to the budget bill, right? How would you improve the transparency on
Richard,
that?
How would you do that? Oh, Richard, he left.
You know, on constitutional convention.
Yeah.
Right on, Uncle Joe, right on.
Well, okay.
Let's get back to the table and bring the people.
Sure. Uncle Joe, the one you were talking about, the Memorial of the Pioneers.
Yeah.
I know up El Nido on Maui, yeah. There's a area where they tell the story.
Oh, yes.
That's
yes.
The one you're talking about. There's a whole story.
That whole park is filled with it.
Yeah, but that story that they talk about is the one that we have in Ever Beach, about the plantations and the pioneers of them coming to this country or to this island to do plantation work and work the islands. I mean, not just the Japanese, the Filipinos, but the Portuguese, the Puerto Ricans.
Oh, yeah.
All the different nationalities came to this state. And it's a great story. I mean, I can't read it offhand, but I remember taking my daughter up there because she wanted to see it because her family's from Maui.
Yeah, the whole park is there.
Yes.
And they talk about all the different ethnic groups.
Yes.
It's just like Waipahu's village.
Yeah. And there's the thing with Waipahu. It was blessed to have a lot of stuff preserved. And Tommy's agreement with me that we, as Eva, didn't get the opportunity. And I think, like how Tom says the same thing, if there was anything that we could do with the 100,000 or even the 200,000, was to preserve the historical sites that needs to be really preserved, like the mansion and other things in the community that could have used the funding besides the graveyard.
That has that personal history with the location where they're at. It's a museum. It's a living museum.
Yes, sir.
So regarding this money, the Cabaneers going to get unless you guys rally the troops, who do the listeners out there contact, whose coattail do they pull to discourage the delivery of this money to Cabaneer? Who?
They got to call up their legislators.
She is a legislator. That's
I
mean, besides the governor, I would go to Clayton He, since he was the orchestrator of the bill in the beginning. These guys, and the reason why people don't understand, Cabanela comes up with these Pakalolo bills and all of this kind of stuff is because now she's the floor speaker. Karen Iwana got replaced by her. But to chastise another legislator for something that happened within the campaign, and, you know, not saying that she didn't know all of that, but I ran for office, and Tom did, and he wanted a position. But campaign spending reports, it's not that friendly. It's not that easy to do. So if you made a little mistake in there, you know, you get chastised, and then now you're not the speaker. But this lady flat out misled her peers or the leaders in getting this money. And she's still there.
Mm-hmm. You know, Kurt, you're absolutely right. What she did, Carol, is try to make a case that the Eva Cemetery was so dilapidated, so overrun. You know, thank goodness we don't have the graffiti, you know, or violation of these grave sites in itself, the vandalism. So we've been fortunate enough. But the sales pitch today, that the cemetery grounds is still in such disrepair that the monies are still needed. The question to say, who do you contact?
how do you stop it? Well, we're doing it right now, the news and other coverage of this. But if the governor were to release the money, because it's all in his hands, if he doesn't release the money stays in the general fund, okay?
And then go forward.
And then we just, you know, but what I tried to do is that since this is all came about before May 1, is that the legislative body could have salvaged that $100,000 for some other cause.
Yes. More related helpful cause.
That's right.
Yeah, there's a lot more need out there, and yep, you're exactly right, Tom. Yeah. I agree with that.
So, okay, guys, I promised, I wanted to read this TRO. We're going to jump ship here for a minute while I got you guys. May have a comment later, but this is a TRO that I spoke
about. And Carol,
yes.
Before you do that, let me say this very quickly. Tom and Kurt, this is what I did. When I was sworn in to be a commissioner on Hawaiian Homes, I took my fiduciary responsibility as the utmost importance in my life since. And the reason why I'm saying that is because the number one in Hawaiian Homes is not the department. It's the people.
Yes, sir.
It's the people. My number one responsibility is to the beneficiary. My number two responsibility is to the commission. My number three responsibility is now to the commissioner or the chair. My number four is to the department head. My number five is to the department. And my number six is back to the people.
Okay.
That's what our legislators need to look at. When you raise your hand and you take that oath of office, you must remember the fiduciary responsibility that you are now in charge of. And that's why I'm so upset about what's happening in Hawaiian Homes. Read your statement.
Okay. Well, again, this, as you know, for those of you who don't know, I was assaulted by masked men, and in Kalailoa, documenting and investigating activities related to the behavior of a state worker, Kalei Young, and a company called Awohi Trucking. But much, much more than that, as you recall, I've uncovered the fact that 13 ton of calcium hydroxide and many other things. And there's another party involved out there, John Bond, who I hope he could come in. Maybe one day we could encourage him. He's also watchful on this. But what I've found is that corruption at its worst. And unfortunately, I have filed many cases and requests for information with the Department of Hawaii and Homelands, with the Attorney General, and still yet nothing happened. So as a result, I was attacked. And after that, the individual that has been openly saying that he's associated with the attack or responsible or had knowledge of it is Mr. Mark Awohi. And this is a petition for a TRO, a temporary TRO, by Mr. George Grace. And the civil number is 1SS1410464. And basically, he's asking that this individual has no contact. But I'm going to read you his statement that is filed with the police department. Mr. Grace wrote, on or about May 7, 2004, at approximately 8:30, respondent Mark Awohi of Awohi Trucking came to my garage located at 91325 Coward Street, Unit D2 in Camel Industrial Park. He was driving a white Ford 150 crew cab pickup when he stopped his truck. He jumped out and slammed his vehicle door and walked with both his fists closed, his chest puffed out, his eyes bulging with rage, and his entire body tense, like he was going to rush me and to knock me down. I could visibly see he was very angry and showed a lot of anger and aggression. Respondent immediately was yelling at me and got in my face and was spitting with rage as he yelled. I immediately took a defensive posture as I was sure he was going to attempt to false crack me and rush me to knock me down to the ground. Respondent was ranting and yelling in a very angry and threatening voice in the following. One, listen, George. Your problems at Hawaiian Homes are spilling over to my side and affecting my deals I have with DHHL and Ward Kalei Young. Two, George, I know you're paying your sister, Sabrina Grace, and Carol Cox to investigate the empty lot next to my yard that I am receiving storage fees for. I'm holding you responsible for this action that Sabrina and Carol Cox are going to be doing, and you need to back them off and stop them from investigating me and Calais Young with whatever business Calais and I have together. If your sons weren't here, was not here as a witness now, I would knock you out and show you pain that you have never experienced before. Four, I know where you live and your children live, and I am in the business of inflicting pain. Five, again, George, I'm holding you responsible for any investigation that your sister and Carol Cox is doing against me and Owohi Trucking and Calais Young. Six, warn your sister, because what happened to Carol can happen to her, and the next time somebody is going to the hospital. Seven, and tell your sister, and especially Mr. Cox, that I can't afford to have someone do my dirty work, and it will never come back to me. Eight, tell Mr. Cox that he saw me sitting out there 20 to 25 minutes before he got assaulted, and just to show him that I have power and can have anybody taken care of that stands in my way. And then responded, turned, and while he was walking away to his truck, he said, George, you better worry. I have no problems hurting you and your family. Respondent continued to shout at me, and I need to keep my sister under control, and that the next time someone is going to the hospital. Respondent glared at me, and as he climbed into his truck, slammed his door and raced off the truck. So, ladies and gentlemen, I don't know about you, but I did witness the gentleman there, and on that property, and this all could have been avoided if the state health department, if the attorney general, and the DHHL would have just simply done their job to make sure that everybody, every employee, and monitoring and working and respond to complaints in appropriate means. But instead, in open daylight, I was attacked. And when I say I, you can put yourself in there. Apparently, it is not the Wild Wild West. It's not even wild. There is nothing. There's no label to put on it. There is more corruption within the DHHL. They know it. They still allow the gentleman that I filed a complaint about, Ward Calais Young, to continue to operate and serve as a land agent with no conditions, no control. So, guys, if you have a comment real quick, feel free.
I'm going to say one thing on this. There's a lot of detail in what you're doing, Carol. But from the show before that comes on before you, DHHL should not be the chair of DHHL at the helm, an appointed position by the governor. And I really think that it's worth a try that in the Rice-Cayetano decision, the state need not pay for the election. The Hawaiian people pay for its leaders with its own monies, and that way the DHHL chair is an elected position. So now when things, mayhem, are taking place on DHHL lands, we have this and that and favoritism or what have you, is then the people themselves have an opportunity to go directly to that DHHL chair and say, you know what, you're out of here. Because right now when you have this, you have point of fingers, you have scapegoats, you don't really know, Carol, who you can really tackle on this. And I really think that it comes down to DHHL, the chairperson, should be elected by the Hawaiian people.
Constitutional convention.
Yeah, but see, in the meantime, they'll run out of masks and clubs, guys. Let's get real here. Everybody talks about constitutional constipation and constitutional. Look, let's deal with right now, right here.
Absolutely.
What the hell did
Absolutely.
We do? Yeah, I'm so sick and tired of this discussion about constitutions. It's about an immediate action. Pick up the phone and tell the governor we don't want corruption in government.
And that's the reason why I'm so discouraged about the chair of the commission being the department head wearing two hats.
Well, yeah, but here's what I will offer out of respect to each of you. Give me now an action that you would do right now to take that and immediately fix it. Okay, have you initiated any bills? Have you, Uncle Joe, have you gone in there and stepped on the table and kicked the microphone and said, like James Brown do, and get you some attention on this subject? Have you?
Well, I've tried to. Let's put it that way. I've tried to. So, and that's the reason why I came on your show the first time.
Yeah, so what I would say and share with all of you out there, when armed men with bats or clubs or whatever it is and put masks on in broad daylight, it takes, to write legislation, it takes a lot. But what about having some immediate ethical workers? What about simply that if you pick with these conditions, it's not impossible that Joby Masagatani and Neil Abercrombie can assure that. See, what happened to me is just an indicator that you as a native Hawaiian who go in and you got to be very quiet and pleased and soft, because if you don't go with the flow, you could be beaten up, or you won't get there. That's what I'm working to expose.
Yeah.
That not I'm just the messenger in this process. So I'm saying everybody need to get it. It's a system that's broken. You can do a constitution, but then if you don't address these human frailties, you just got a new constitution and the same old crap. Okay.
You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right, Carol. There's no doubt about that. What I need to do is go to the fifth floor and demand from the man time to try to work this out immediately. What have we come to? Yeah. What's next?
Well, the bottom line is, Carol, this is again government failing the people. Not just the Hawaiians,
absolutely.
I know the bottom line about all the issues that have been in Kalailoa, and I know the big concern that Carol has with the illegal companies, someone that is there, illegal leasing, illegal agreements, all these kind of bargainings. The bottom line, the Hawaiian people and the people of Hawaii should demand, all of you, everybody, doesn't matter if you're Hawaiian or not, you should demand transparency, and we need a policy in place. When somebody breaks the law on government property and is found guilty, immediate termination of the lease. Not go play volleyball with them, have an envelope in the hand, and then crack the guy in the head that's trying to do the job for the people.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. It has to be brought to a head. And unless we take that step to bring it to a head, where are we going to be? Up Schitt's Creek again?
Yeah. Well, what I try to do is convey to all openly, and this is, I put myself in harm's way to say that Native Hawaiians can put their name on the list and die waiting. That's an embarrassment. That's an affront. And then by me being out there, it wasn't that I was out there meddling. It was out there trying to document and show that certain entities have control, and show that certain entities within the government agencies lend themselves to that control and operate a business of sort that is questionable. So I didn't get hit over the head because I had nothing better to do and was sticking my nose in someone's private business. This was a process that I'm still going on. If you want to join me, fine. Let's talk reality, let's talk sensibility, and let's talk requiring accountability, not in introducing new rules, new laws. The rules are there. It's illegal to take a bribe.
Let me finish my part.
We got 1 minute.
Yeah, let me finish my part very quickly. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you very much. And that comes from my heart, sir.
I know.
Number two, we've had enough funerals in Hawaiian homes. Enough people have died on the list. What do we need? Another funeral?
Yeah, we got people.
But it amounts to.
We got people in Lala Milo suffering from smelling sewage every day in the Hawaiian homes issues. But we got these sophisticated systems.
And taking truckloads of sludge down into Waianae.
And we got Waianae. We got children, you know, asthma. And we're worried. And people, we're tolerating people hitting people over the head with clubs.
I found out back in the 50s we had dump loads of trash into Waimanalo.
Okay. Well, we're out of time, Uncle Joe. Next week.
Give me a call.
All right, I will.
And thank you guys very much. Happy Mother's Day.
Okay. Yeah, happy Mother's Day, all of you guys and ladies and gentlemen out there. Kurt, thank you. Kurt from Vela, thank you. Tom Berg, you going to come back?
Please.
Okay, soon we'll talk real.
I got a heart for it.
We'll get Richard DeConte. Okay. Richard DeConte is going to join us on that one. And you're welcome, too.
Yeah.
Aloha, and thank you, guys. And I'm still here with you, and I'm going to try to stay ahead of the game. Aloha, and we'll see you next week.
This has been the Carol Cox Show, heard every Sundays at 9 a.m. on K108. Tune in again next week, Sunday at 9 a.m. to the Carol Cox Show on 1080 a.m. KWAI Honolulu.